Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, welcome to the 415. I'm Raina Stark, so you don't have to be. With me, as always, is the most wonderful host, co-host in the world, amazing Star Bruce DeMonte. Say hello, Star.
Hello, Star.
It's been a day. It's been a week. It's been a couple of weeks. A lot of things have happened since our last broadcast. Apparently, my ranting and raving has paid off in the universe. So it's going to be an interesting show. All right, so the 415 is brought to you by the amazing House of Black Hat Magic, the kindness of the Wild Hunt, and the additional kindness of DorothyMorrison.com and Desperate House Witches, of which I am one. All right, on this show you will hear opinions. They will be those of myself and my co-host. You will hear a lot of sweariness, but not the kind of sweariness you heard last time. It'll be other kinds of sweariness. You will probably still hear begging and crying, mostly from me, because that's my gig. All right. A lot has happened. The last time we spoke, we were talking about Joe Biden was still in the race, and I said, guys, I don't care if they give us a bag of dirty gym socks. We were going to stick with the party. We were going to vote together. And the universe gave us a wonderful gift. Said, okay, I'm out, but we're going to vote for Kamala Harris. And I said, yes, please, and thank you, as many of us have, and we are looking better than ever. So I am particularly excited, but more on that later. Before we begin, I also want to say, please support the Wild Hunt. Give it all your support. It is the pagan paper of record. Go to wildhunt.org. Become a contributing member, because we need to have real journalism, especially now that certain orange-haired, misogynistic, racist scum are saying all kinds of crazy shit, but that more on that later as well. So in the meantime, we have good news. We're getting a prisoner exchange happening with Russia today. That damn Biden, how dare he do good things. So Star, pick us off with some of the good news of the day, please.
So early this morning, the Wall Street Journal broke this story that Evan Gershkovich and Paul Whelan were going to be released, and in a, what appears to be a prisoner exchange with between the U.S. and Russia. Interestingly enough, it looks like there are more than just those two that are going to be released. This morning, basically, what was being reported was that this was looking like a Cold War prisoner swap, and
yep.
There are three Americans that are going to be released. Actually, I think they're already on a plane. Evan Gershkovich, Paul Whelan, and then Russian American radio journalist Alsu. I'm not even going to try to pronounce her last name. Anyway, they're all expected to arrive in the U.S. By this evening. And they're just part of what appears to be a 24-person prisoner swap. And it's between the U.S., Russia, Germany, and three other Western countries, which I'm looking for details as to which countries. But this is huge. And, you know, so much for Trump and his bullshit of, like, that they would never be released unless he was reelected. So this is really interesting, but also really good news, because Paul Whelan has been being held, and he's a Marine veteran, and they've held him for like 5 years, I think.
Yep.
So, yeah. So it'll be exciting to see this happen. The U.S. has already posted a picture of and Alsu is female, apparently. I'm not familiar with her, but the U.S. has already pictures of the three of them holding an American flag. I'm not sure. It doesn't say where the picture was taken. I think they flew them to Germany. So 12 political prisoners have been released to Germany, and then I guess we're released 12 to Russia. That's what it looks like. So very, very interesting stuff. Timing is really interesting as well.
Oh, I agree.
You know, why now, and why is Putin agreeing to this? You know.
Yeah, I am wondering why as well, considering I thought he and Donnie were in the thick of a friendship, and I guess Putin must be some kind of writing on the wall that maybe his support for the Donald will be a worthwhile thing. I can only hope. We're starting to see a lot of ties kind of turn with 96 days left before Election Day, 96 or 97, I think it's 96. But there has just been a complete change. In my experience, I've not seen anything like this before in such a short amount of time, and I can't say I'm upset by it. Don, he keeps shooting himself in the foot. It's remarkable proportions at this point. The NABJ yesterday was just, that was, I've seen him say stupid things. I've seen him do stupid things. But I've not seen him, as, I mean, the whole, okay, let me back up. Let me start with the selection, his selection for VP. And I know this was not on the list necessarily, but I think it bears a little bit of discussion on how J.D. Vance was kind of picked, because this was not someone who I believe was appropriately vetted, and I don't believe that Trump had much of a hand in this. Something that a lot of people don't know about Donald Trump is that Donald Trump does not trust people with facial hair. So the idea that J.D. Vance was actually, that he actually got through just on its face was shocking, no pun intended, or pun intended if you like. Knowing historically that Donald does not trust people with facial hair really surprised me. But then if you dig into the story of how this was a hand selection from his son and I believe Jared Kushner, that J.D. Vance had come highly recommended. And quite frankly, I don't know that anybody else necessarily really wanted the job to be the running mate, especially after he'd left Pence out to dry and possibly die on January 6th. I can't say that there were people running to be his running mate.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
Hit me. I think that, I mean, what's the crazy governor from South Dakota? Christine O. I mean, she would have cut off, you know, I mean,
yeah.
She would have been happy to be his running mate. And there are, you know, and there were several others that were really courting that. I think the reason that Vance was picked because they felt like they had it all sewn up. And
yeah.
Vance is somebody that appeals to their base. Although, I mean, he had said some really horrible, you know, he had some pretty spot on and horrible criticisms of Trump. And, you know,
yes.
And like all of that kind of went away. So it is definite. He was definitely kind of a curious choice. But I think that basically they thought that having somebody younger that really appealed to their base, because they felt like they had it all sewn up. And then when Biden stepped aside and Harris became the presumptive nominee, they kind of screwed themselves. And then, of course, you know, all of J.D. Vance's awful things that he said over the last 3 years, most notably the childless cat lady thing, right, which is just, it has gone crazy. Like every day there's not one new meme or two new memes. There's dozens and dozens and dozens. There was a hilarious talk where I'm sure it's AI created, but it's like all of these people protesting, but they're all cats, you know? So they're like cats,
yeah.
Like people. That was
yeah.
just friggin' hilarious. I mean, shit is everywhere. I mean, like in one fell swoop, basically they pulled this, and he had said it again recently, which was what got the attention put on it. But basically in one statement, he has managed to alienate, you know, more than 50% of the voting public and many, 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 many more that, you know, are not old enough to vote or for whatever reason can't vote. All of the rescues and shelters and, you know, people that work in animal welfare are having a fucking heyday with this shit. I mean, they are having way too much fun, myself included, okay, just to be clear. So, I mean, like, he's really, I'm like, I wonder if they will keep him as VP, but I don't know that they can get, I don't know what the process would be within the party
right.
to get rid of him. Can they do that? I mean, I have no idea. I mean, they can do anything they want, but, you know, I don't know.
Well, considering all of their screaming and crying about Biden no longer being the candidate and they want to sue over that, I don't think they have a leg to stand on, because I think for them, the party has already gone through the selection phase and they've already had their convention. So I think they are locked
right.
in.
I think that's,
because
I think that's my understanding as well. But, I mean, you know,
yeah.
they don't follow the rules and they don't think that the rules apply to them. So who the fuck knows?
That's also true. That is also true. I do agree with you that I feel that there's buyer's remorse now on their side. They basically have alienated 2/3 of all of my friends, male and female. with and without cats. J.D. Vance describes people without children as sociopaths and sociopathic tendencies. I don't think he has a clear understanding of what that word means. And quite frankly, I don't think he thinks. I know a lot more people who are sane without children than with children, because there's a whole different set of stressors that come into your brain when you have kids. And as I've said many times, if I had as much as I love my children, if I were living my life over, I recommend that people absolutely do not have children. It's not easy, and I think you live a saner life when you just live your life. And, you know, we're not repopulating after the flood. I've also said that many times.
Well, so the other thing, too, is that you have to remember that he strenuously voted against, you know, all of the legislation trying to protect IVF, right? So people who are trying to get pregnant, who want to have children, he voted against all of that. And which, you know, that is, I mean, in addition to the abortion stuff, which, of course, he's also against. So, I mean, like, he's alienated. I would say since in his poll numbers, have you seen his poll numbers? They're in negative numbers.
Negative.
Like
they're negative.
Yeah, from where it was. Like, he's dropped, like, almost 20 points since they announced them. And I mean, it's really extraordinary to me, but I think, you know how every time something happens with the Democrats and then all of the headlines are like, you know, Dems in disarray, you know, Democratic Party in disarray. I think we need to get it trending where it says, you know, where the trend is Republicans in disarray, GOP fumbling for way forward. But not trending. It's childless cat ladies are trending, but, you know, Republicans in disarray, not so much.
I think we, because we're Democrats, we have found many other ways to say the same thing. But I think it's very clear that between Trump's age, which is really showing the misogyny, the race, the blatant racism, the continuous bigotry, the anti, just the continuous misogyny. It's just astounding to me how American women have ever supported this guy. You know, he feeds into the worst Yahoo instincts of men, and
absolutely,
that is so frightening, you know. And, well, after his display yesterday at the NABJ was just unbelievable, unbelievable. That was the Trump that I was used to seeing 20, 30 years ago and saw all through 2015, you know, the railing Trump all during the Obama administration, the hateful rhetoric. Just anyone who isn't me is dirt beneath my feet. That Donald Trump, and he really put it on display yesterday. And
big time. So let's just for listeners who maybe don't know, maybe if you've been living under a rock and you haven't watched any news all week. The NABJ is the National Association of Black Journalists, which I don't know whose idea it was for Trump to go and speak to them and allow them to ask questions, but, you know, the Democratic Party should send that person and perhaps a bottle of champagne, because it was incredibly bad. I was at work, so I didn't get a chance to watch it live. I have since looked at some footage, and I have read some, I mean, like, holy, holy moly. A number of black journalists did not want him, did not want the NABJ to allow him to come, and they ignored those concerns and had him come anyway. And so this thing was set to go off at 1, right? It was supposed to start at 1. They didn't actually start until after 2, almost 2:30. And what's his name? Phil Lewis, I think. He is a deputy editor in Detroit for one of the papers there. He reported that he was being told that the reason that they hadn't started yet was because Trump and his campaign did not want him to be fact-checked, and they certainly didn't want him to be fact-checked live. Now, I don't know if I didn't really get a chance today to look to see for verification of that. But
what Trump said was that they couldn't get their equipment to work correctly. There were people who were concerned about why was he invited. And I will tell you that the idea that he was invited, the journalists themselves said, listen, anyone who wants to become president of the United States is welcome to come and speak before the National Association of Black Journalists. And they're right. The man had a right to come and speak and give an accounting of himself. That is what they wanted him to do. And that is exactly what he did. I do listen to MSNBC, and I did listen to Reverend Al Sharpton give his opinion yesterday afterwards. And he said, and I have to agree to some extent, Donald Trump went in and thought he was going to stand up to these black people. Those are Reverend Al's words, not mine. And to paraphrase, basically showed them who's boss, which he obviously did not do. He was dismissive. He was disgusting. He basically insulted all three of the female interviewers. Should have been horrifically embarrassed. He was escorted off the stage by his campaign early because he was really embarrassing himself. He called them names. He disparaged them. They laughed at him. The audience members laughed at him. He questioned the vice president's identity as a black woman by stating that she had just turned black and that she had been identifying as an Asian person or an Indian person. If anyone is not clear, the vice president's mother is an Asian person, and her father is a Jamaican person. And he is black, and she is Asian American. And she has gone, you know, she was the first black female. Oh, my God, there's such a list of what she was, the first black female, everything she's ever put her hand to. She's been amazing. But she has never not recognized both of her parents and all of her beautiful lineage. She has never not said she was black, ever, not once, not in all the time she's been in public service, which is her entire career. So the idea that he was questioning her being black and saying that she suddenly turned black a few years ago was absolutely horrific and hysterical at the same time. And they basically laughed him out of the room. So this is the kind of identity politics that Donald Trump is known for. This is the kind of insult that he is known for. And people that support this kind of person are not the kind of people you even want in your sphere. This is why when people tell me, oh, you know, you shouldn't give up on people, and you shouldn't let people go because of their politics. No, this is exactly why I let people go, because of their politics. Because this is not just who do we vote for. This is a moral decision. Who you are politically speaks to who you are morally. And if you can countenance someone like Donald Trump, someone who openly would be hostile to me, a bisexual, Wiccan, older female who's not skinny as a rail, yeah, guess what? Then we have an issue, and you don't need to be in my life. Very simple, very cut and dry. And I have been cutting more and more people out of my life because of that simple fact. If you don't care about the people I care about, if it's okay with you that members of my family would be wiped off the face of this earth, my multi-generational, multi-cultured, multi-gendered, gendered and non-gendered members of my family, that's okay if they're wiped out by Donald Trump? No, you don't need to be in my life. Don't need you. Don't want you. Get the fuck out. Very simple. What do you think, Star?
Oh, well, I definitely agree with that, you know. I mean, there's just, I still think that there is a percentage of the population that, and within the pagan community, that they don't see the threat that Trump poses or that, you know, Project 2025 poses. And,
I didn't go there yet. Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, what we saw yesterday at the NABJ forum was basically Trump going back to, you know, when Obama was running for office and the whole, you know, birtherism, which is now a word
yes.
that we all have in our vocabulary because Trump created it by saying that. With absolutely no proof whatsoever that
yeah.
Obama was not a U.S. citizen and therefore was not qualified to run for office. And
right.
we're seeing that same thing being tossed out there with Kamala. Laura Loomer, who I would hope that, like, you know, like a bolt of lightning just would come out of a clear blue sky and just turn her to ash. She was going on, I saw a bunch of posts and screenshots of a post that she made about that she had managed to get a copy of Harris's birth certificate, which here's a news flash for you. Her fucking birth certificate is on Wikipedia, okay? Like, if you go to Wikipedia, you can find her birth certificate, and it clearly states who her parents are, where they're from, like, the whole
yep.
nine yards. Like, she was treating this like this was some kind of, like, you know, big secret, right? And it's like, please,
yeah.
bitch. But what we're seeing is going to be, and I think what's to come is going to be even worse than what Obama had to deal with. And I also want to point out that people are really excited. So instead of being in a position where they feel like they're voting for the lesser of two evils, they feel like they actually have somebody that they are voting for, rather than just voting
yeah.
against. And so I think that is really important. There's a lot of excitement. If the amount of money that Harris's campaign has managed to pull in just, I mean, I feel like we're traveling at the speed of light here because, so,
yeah.
I mean, It's been just a little over a week. What, it's been 10 days? Since Biden said, hey, I'm not going to run.
Yep.
I mean, like, she has already sewn up the nomination. I mean, there's, like, no question. Nobody
yeah.
is going to oppose her. So she, you know, and I mean, and I had, like, some you and I talked, and I had some pretty serious concerns. Would people support her? Because, you know, I remember 2000, you know, I lived through the 2016 election, and, you know, when Hillary became the nominee, it was rough. And there was, you know, although I have to say, I thought she's going to win this hands down because Trump's an idiot. And pardon me.
Yeah.
Boy, was I wrong. You know, I mean, so I think that, you know, there's some muscle memory from that, if you will. And I was really concerned, you know, are they going to, you know, she's a woman and she's black. Yikes. You know, I mean, just to be clear, I mean, our country has not been really great about supporting people of color in anything, you know, unless it's figuring out a way of how to fuck them over. You know, we're great at that, but we're not great at supporting them. We're not great at electing them. I have to say, I am absolutely stunned by the level of support for her. Energized the younger voters. Pardon me.
Absolutely.
And so these are all good things. And I think that as long as, you know, Dems fall in line, vote for, you know, I think she'll win. I will say it's really interesting to watch how her campaign is handling this nonsense, because they're just like, every time Trump opens his mouth, they're on the attack. And they're going to have to be, because, you know, as we talked about, you know, the level of misogyny just alone, you know, if you go back and you look at the, you know, cause we've all slept, right. And we really tried to forget the fucking horrible debates between Hillary and Trump, because they were horrible. I don't think that, I think we treated that whole election like it was just normal business as usual. You know, I don't think anybody really thought that Trump could win. And so when Hillary debated Trump, there was this, you know, she approached it like the policy wonk that she is, you know, like she just fucking ignored him, and she said, well, this is what we're going to do, this is the policy, you know, and answered the questions, you know, impeccably, with Trump kind of looming in the background and
right.
I mean, it was awful. I mean, it was one of the worst displays of patriarchal BS I think I've ever seen on a debate stage. But I don't think that that's going to, I mean, well, first of all, he still hasn't agreed to a debate with Harris, and I have to think that he won't, but because she's not going to put up with this bullshit, and not only that, she's younger. Everybody knows what's at stake this time around. Because we know he can get elected, you know, and we also know what a fucking dumpster fire it was, you know, the last time that he was in office. And I don't think anybody wants to go back to that, and they sure as shit don't want to go back to, like, 1950, because that's where his, you know, that's his platform, policy. Well, they don't really have any policy, to be frank. They're... Everything that they're doing, like, is pretty much the same as what Project 2025 has to say. But so we got all this going on, and I don't think we're going to see a repeat, simply because Harris's campaign is pretty fucking savvy. They're not letting anything go. The minute he opens his fucking mouth and says a bunch of bullshit, they are like, ooh, that's great. We're going to use that for our next campaign video. And it's not just them. Have you seen some of the ads that the Lincoln, what's it called? Shoot, my brain is fried. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm just like, They're like melted, and they're like, it's like just one giant lumpy brain cell that's like all gooey. the Lincoln Project videos, I mean, they've been producing videos for a while now, and they're like all in.
Right.
They're like, no way Trump can get back in.
Right.
And so they're doing everything that they can, but I mean, between them and some of the other, you know, there's a whole white dudes for Kamala. I mean, like,
yeah.
There's like cat ladies for Kamala. There's Nikki Haley voters for Kamala. I mean, which that's hilarious. Right.
Nikki Haley hates it.
Right. Well, they dropped a cease and desist letter on the Nikki Haley voters. They're like, you can't use her name. You can't, you know, and they're like, fuck you. We're going to do it anyway. So that's been going on. There's a level of broad spectrum support that I am shocked and fucking delighted to see, because we have got to win this. I mean,
there's no question.
No, but the misogyny, you know, I mean, so we've already started with the whole birtherism and she's not black enough, you know, which, you know, when do you remember when Obama ran and he was not black enough? Because he was barely black, you know, he wasn't black enough. And we're already hearing that, and I think this is the only thing that the GOP can come up with, okay? This is it. This is their whole offense, like, that she's not black enough. But, I mean, I think we're going to see more of that. We're going to – I mean, I think the misogyny is going to be 1,000 times worse than it was when Hillary ran.
Of course, because she's a black woman. And here's the thing that I really love, the whole border czar thing. Normally, when you see something like that, the candidate that's being accused of it goes to something completely different. And she's like, fuck that, we're going straight at it. And she addressed it immediately and said, no.
Yeah.
Borders are my ass. You're the one who stopped the policy I wrote. You're the one who I had a bipartisan deal on the table and you told everyone not to sign it. You're the one who stopped it from going through because you thought you could run on it and win. So when we actually had a deal on the table, you're the one who stopped it. You're the one who's trying to take away Obamacare. You're the one who's trying to eliminate all of these things that you say you want for your people. You don't care about people. You care about power. You care about not going to jail. But I love that commercial. You know, she's trying to fix it. He's trying to stop her. She's trying to put people in jail. He's avoiding going to jail. It's just perfect. And it's so true. She is the ballsiest, most badass to ever run for the office. She takes nothing lying down. She takes nothing for granted. And her, you know, I was watching the rally, and then I was on the call from Atlanta where she was like, you got something to say, Donald? Say it to my face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say it to my face. And it's like, yeah, bring it, bitch. Say it to her face. Say it to her face because you're gutless. You're spineless. And a black woman will put this country to a spot that it can be proud of, because I will tell you, we do not want anything that Trump is bringing. And it is about time. And I don't care, again, and everyone has heard me say this 9,000 fucking times, here's 9,001. I don't care who her running mate is. She could pick a dirty gym sock. We are voting for Harris and the dirty gym sock. Does not matter. We are going to do this all together. And we are putting that woman in office. And that is the end of that. So I don't want to hear any arguments. I don't want to hear the name Jill Stein. I don't want no. I don't care who she picks. Do I have favorites? Yes. But I don't care. What? What?
So, well, first of all,
me on the head.
I'm going to pat you on the head, yes. Good, Raina. so, as far as people running,
yes.
Marianne Williamson dropped out. So that's one less idiot.
I didn't know she was running.
With. Yeah, okay. No one else did either. That's why she dropped out. Kennedy's support is down to less than 5% at this point. So it's very likely that he will drop out, because I don't even think that's enough to really be a spoiler at this point. It will be interesting to see if he endorses either one of the other candidates if he does drop out. I think that the Trump campaign had already tried to get him to drop out and get him to endorse them, and that did not happen. I think that there are some really interesting possibilities for Harris when it comes to running mates.
Wait one second. Let me just say this before you continue, because you brought up Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Eric Clapton, shut the fuck up, go home, stay out of our politics. He played a concert for RFK Jr. Eric, I used to love you. Now I can't stand you. Go the fuck home. You put your nose where it doesn't fucking belong. Bad, bad, bad. Disappointed me yet again. All right, next. Okay.
Well, we should also probably do a shout out to Desperate House Witches and The Wild Hunt and House of Black Cat Magic, because all of those make this show possible.
Yay! I think we already did that, but thank you. Yay!
No, we did. Well, not halfway through. But anyway.
Okay.
So
yay! Thank you.
Yay. I think that it's, I think it'll be interesting to see who she chooses. My thing has been that even Obama couldn't get elected without an old white guy. So it'll be really interesting who Harris chooses. But I'm putting my quarter on the table for it, that A, it's for sure going to be a white dude and probably an older white dude. But, we'll see. So my quarter's on the table for that. We can fight about it if you want. But
I've got my favorite.
Who's your favorite?
All right. So, and I had this discussion while I was on vacation, and my feeling was, we have done the old white guy thing probably to fucking death. I would like to see the progressive unity ticket go through, and I would love to see Pete Buttigieg be the VP. Now, I understand that some people think that's too much too soon. I think too much too soon is a bullshit argument at this point, because it's either the fucking end of the world with Trump or true progression. And I don't think that people will give up on true progression because they're afraid of the gay man. Because I will tell you that as a Rhodes Scholar, as a veteran, as a stable family man, one husband, two children, white picket fence, highly intelligent, speaks several languages, just a natural fucking diplomat. The man is on Fox because he goes on Fox to talk to people who might not otherwise hear the truth. He doesn't do it to be an asshole. I don't know that I've ever seen an asshole bone in his body. I'm sure it exists. But Pete Buttigieg is really an ultimate diplomat. And listen, he's gay, and I'm into it. So there's that. Mark Kelly has a fabulous story, and stories are important. Veteran, Gabby Gifford's husband. If you don't know who that is, please look her up. She was shot. It's a long story, but has a great story. Hero, all of that. Senator has done service. Astronaut, phenomenal story. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Chris Wall, okay, whatever. Not impressed as much as I am by other people. Josh Stein, who knows? Bit of a wild card. Little too much. I think it's. I think there may
you
be.
You mean Shapiro?
Maybe.
Shapiro.
Yes. Stein is in my. Yes. I'm sorry, Josh Stein is running for governor here. Excuse me. Yes, Josh Shapiro. Shapiro, nice guy, a great attack dog, but she don't need that necessarily. And there's no guarantee that whoever she picks will carry their home state. That's shown to not be the case in most cases, actually. And I've got a finger on my head again. What?
Well, so one of the things I also think is important to look at is, like, so some of the names that have been tossed out there, like Kelly and Beshear, who's the governor of Kentucky, Tim Walz in
Wisconsin.
Yeah. So I think that the campaign is less likely to pull someone from one of those places simply because especially senators, because we need to maintain our majority in the Senate. So I feel like it's less likely that they're going to pull, you know, I mean, unless depending on how the state is structured and where they are in their term, and if there's a Democratic governor and they can just appoint somebody to fill that seat, or if they have to hold an election. But I think it's unlikely that Harris's team is going to select somebody that would cause a seat to be vacated and might threaten the Democrats having control of the Senate or the House, for that matter, or in a state like Kentucky, where, you know, Beshear has done fucking fantastic. He just got reelected as governor the last election, and he's a really good governor. So I think it's less likely that they're going to be looking at pulling somebody out of a position like that. One of the advantages of Buttigieg is that that's not going to be an issue. Now, and I will point out, he is white. Okay, he is a white guy, so I'm half right if that's who she picks. He's just not old.
Well, but all that she has left are white guys, because Gretchen said she didn't want it. They took her name out of contention. Roy Cooper pulled himself out. Cory Booker was never part of the lineup, which kind of surprised me because I was kind of hoping he'd be in there, but okay, fine. Everybody else was a white guy. So it was kind of like going to be a white guy from the lineup that was left. So,
yeah.
I mean, but, I am still leaning Buttigieg.
You don't know if they can she can pick. What's the kid from in Tennessee? I think he serves in the Tennessee House. Remember, he and one of his fellow representatives they tossed him out, and then they reinstated him.
Who is that?
I can't think of the name. I'm terrible. I'm telling you, my brain is just a glob. So I'm saying that there are plenty of people that may not be high profile that she could pick. So we don't know. But
I thought at this point all of the potentials were public knowledge at this point. Maybe not.
Sure. I think, you know, they at this point nothing would surprise me because this has been one of the most unprecedented and surprising runs so far. So who the hell knows? I mean, I'm kind of scared for October because, you know, like what kind of crazy-ass October surprises are there going to be? Because you know there's going to be one. At the rate we're going, like we're getting a surprise a week, okay? So who fucking knows?
It makes me think that there's not going to be one because everything, the surprises already started in fucking July. Therefore, we don't have to wait for an October surprise because we're already so fucking surprised. I think our eyeballs are falling out, quite frankly. I don't know if I can deal with many more surprises at this point. I mean, these have been good. To me, these have been really good surprises. I've been very happy with the level of surprises I've been living with so far. So I can't really bitch about it. I've dealt with bad surprises in my life, and I'm very happy to take the W this time. The fact that they are so, that they were so counting on beating Joe Biden, the fact that they were so stoked about Trump not having to do anything, not having to say anything, the fact that Trump could just continue to be the crazy person Trump is and say the crazy, weird-ass shit, and the fact that weird has caught on as well as it has. I mean, it's like they're just fucking weird, and it is weird. And that's enough. We don't have to say anything more insulting than they're weird, and it's stuck.
And we hurt their feelings. Their feelings are hurt because we're calling them weird, which is fucking hilarious from the fuck your feelings crowd to begin with. So one of the things I want to talk about is where we go from here. Okay? Beyond the fact that obviously we all need to fucking, you know, fall in line and we need to support Harris and, you know, if you can donate to her campaign, do so. But more importantly, it's those down ballot races that are really important as well. Those are critical, especially here in North Carolina. We got some fucking nut bars that are running for office, and that means that everybody needs to be registered to vote. So one of the things that you can do is you can help people to get registered to vote. And if they're already registered, encourage them to check their registration because a number of states have been purging people from the voting rolls. You have to have that cleared up by August or October 5th is the last day that you can do that in most states. So I am going to challenge, I'm going to challenge everybody out there to do something.
Yep.
Okay. So at House of Black Cat Magic, we are going to be running voter registration events, four events between now and the last day that we can, which is October 5th. So if you own a business or can partner with a business or can do anything where you can talk to the League of Women Voters, talk to, you know, anybody that you know that works when it comes to elections or works the polls, ask them what you need to do to set up an event. If it means going door to door, do that. But we need every person that is eligible to vote registered to vote. So I challenge every single one of you out there, anybody that listens to our show, do it. Do it, because this is how we win. We will be relentless. We are going to badger our friends and family and make sure that they're fucking registered to vote. And on election day, if it means driving their ass to the polls to vote, then that's what we do.
We will take days off from work. We will get your asses there. We will sit in the car and listen to music because I'm going to tell you, I will have already voted. I am a strong believer in early voting, and if necessary, absentee voting, which Star taught me all about years ago, and I did what Star told me to do, and I absentee voted, and yes, ma'am, I will do what I got to do. My vote will be in early so I can help people who need help. Because I will tell you, even though I vote in every election, I check every fucking time, every year, because there's races every year, not just the presidential races every 4 years. You have to vote every time there's an election, local, state, whatever it is, you got to get in there to stop these people from climbing the ranks quietly, how they get these name recognition things, and that's how these crazy Trump Republicans get in, by people like us ignoring small local elections. You cannot ignore the small local election. You cannot do it. I want to encourage everybody, now, big elections, super important. Yes, absolutely. But so are the smaller ones. You got to be involved at least with your vote. I'm not saying everybody can become a huge political junkie like we are. That's just because we're nuts and we're into it. But you got to be involved. You got to be involved as much as you possibly can. I know y'all got bills and shit like everybody else. Some of y'all do have children. God bless the hell out of you. It ain't easy. I know. I had small kids. Now they're grown, and they're actual fucking adults. God had to help me with that because I sure as shit couldn't have done it by myself. I get you. I get you. Some of you got 2 and 3 fucking jobs. I get it. But you got to stay involved in voting. Is the only way we're going to get back what the shit we lost under Trump. This is how we're going to maintain. This is how we're going to get Kamala Harris as our next president. This is how we're going to maintain fucking democracy for you and me and all of our loved ones. We've got to keep working at it. It is a constant process. Constant process. So I encourage you, don't just wait until every 4 years. Check your voter registration every single year. I just did mine this morning because I'm paranoid and I don't trust these fuckers. I live in North Carolina. You just don't know. The voter purging shit continues to happen.
Yep. It's true. It's true. And those down ballot races are super important. Always. They're always important. Because think about this. You know, when Trump was in office, he did not have control of both houses. If the GOP had had control of both houses, we would have really been fucked. But they didn't. And then we took a bunch of seats back in 2022. So, very important. Those down ballot races matter, and yes, you should vote every chance you get. And hey, look at what time it is.
Oh shit. Yeah. So keep the faith. Keep getting out there. Support the Wild Hunt. Support House of Black Cat Magic. I'm tired too. It's my first day back to work. I'm like, yeah, brain not working. Check out DorothyMorrison.com. Desperate House Witches may or may not be on tomorrow because we had a little bit of a health scare with the pagan pundit. Please send love and good energy to him. So we may be off tomorrow night. Anyway, please, we are going to increase the number of the 415s for 2025. So make sure you tune in if you're interested in politics. We are doing it. We're going to be doing it twice a month. You're very excited about it. because it's important to keep y'all involved. We love you. We're going to stick with you. Stick with us. We're going to see Kamala, all the way through to the White House and beyond. So send us questions on whatever page you can find us, Star Bustamante, Rain of Star, and we're going to say goodnight. Say goodnight, Star.
Goodnight, Star.
Goodnight, Star.
Goodnight, guys. Take care. Don't forget to vote.